I want to talk to you today on the topic of two difficult truths, two troubling truths and teachings. These teachings cause some people in the gospel today to walk away. The first troubling teaching is the teaching on the Eucharist that we've been looking at for the last, really, 4 weeks now, beginning with the multiplication of the loaves and continuing all the way through to today. And you may remember these Sundays, but let me remind you of the highlights, that the Lord was teaching them, look, I gave you manna, I gave you bread in a deserted place, like Moses gave you bread. But it was not Moses, it was my Father who gave you this bread. And God gave that bread from heaven, that manna, to sustain them in the wilderness as they journeyed to the promised land. And the Lord says, and now I am the living bread come down from heaven for you. For you to eat in your journey across the desert to the promised land of heaven. And the bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world. And they began to protest and say, this is ridiculous. This is crazy. How can he give us his flesh to eat? And Jesus simply said, I want to solemnly assure you, unless you gnaw on my flesh and devour my blood, you will have no life in you. And that's where the gospel today picks up. People said, this is crazy talk. This is a hard saying. How can anyone take it seriously? And it says, many left him that day and would no longer follow him. You see, church, they understood him to speak literally. And he expected to be understood literally. Had he simply been saying, well, look, when I die and I'm no longer with you, please remember me in a memorial meal, there would have been no trouble with that. We all do things like that. We remember our loved ones. But the Lord was telling them to actually eat his flesh and drink his blood. And they couldn't tolerate the teaching. And most, it says, many left him that day and would no longer walk in his company. And then Jesus asked a question. He turns to the 12 and he says, will you also leave me? Now, before we look at what Peter said, you have to answer that question. Because, brothers and sisters, the teaching on the Eucharist is a troubling, a difficult teaching. It's a hard saying. Why is it hard? Because, you see, most of us, at least those of us who grew up Catholic, well, we've been taught this all our lives, and we barely think much about it, which is another sad commentary. But what makes it hard? What makes it hard is that you come up the aisle today, you will be announced a truth, the body of Christ. Now, of your five senses, four of them will mislead you. It still looks like a little wafer of bread, still feels like bread, smells like bread, tastes like bread. Same with the cup, the precious blood. Still looks like wine, tastes like wine, feels like wine. But one of your five senses says, no, this is my body, the body of Christ, the blood of Christ. And it is difficult because we are very visual. We have to see something in order to believe it. Well, I got news for you. Even when you see things, it's still hard to believe. Ever been to a magic show?
Oh, they have some way of doing that.
But nevertheless, our senses mislead us, except for our hearing. And faith does come by hearing. The body of Christ. But it's so easy for us to sort of intellectually say, okay, somehow it's the body of Christ. Pop it back in our mouth and we're done with it. Amen. And we're off to the pew. What makes this a hard saying is that it's so hard for us to really begin to grasp that I receive the living God. And my heart is filled with joy. To really begin to let it drop from the 15 inches from our brain into our hearts. That I receive today the living God. That's what makes this a hard teaching for us. It's so easy to become so casual about receiving the body and the blood of Christ. Kind of walking up the aisle, greeting people, hi, how you doing? And then finally have to get your attention to the body of Christ. Oh, yeah, okay. You know, it's so easy for us. And by the way, I don't mean to suggest that most of you come up the aisle like that. But I'm exaggerating to make the point. It's so easy for us to just kind of come up with our mind, God knows where. So again, brothers and sisters, a hard saying, a tough teaching. Now, Peter answers, but again, the question isn't in front of you right now. Will you also leave me? They were leaving him this day. But Peter said, no, Lord, we won't leave you. You have the words of eternal life. We're convinced that you're the Holy One of God. Praise the Lord, church. Do you understand the significance of your journey up the aisle later today? And your amen? When you are told the body of Christ, when there is announced to you the blood of Christ, do you know how powerful your amen is? And how that must console Jesus. I told some of you before, I was in the Holy Land back in the early 90s, and I've been to Capernaum. It's in ruins now. They're excavating where the ruins are, and you can actually go and walk into the ruins of the synagogue. The very synagogue where Jesus preached this sermon. And I walked in there, and I'm not usually moved to tears, but suddenly I felt tears welling up in me. And I thought, I wonder if this isn't the Lord's way of saying to me how difficult this Sabbath morning was for him. As he tried to offer them his body and blood, and they just said, you're crazy, get out of here. In fact, I'll get out of here. I just wonder that the Lord must have wept for them that day. He wanted to feed them, but they wanted nothing to do with it. And they walked away. And how it must have consoled him when Peter, speaking for the others, said, we won't leave you, Lord. You have the words of eternal life. And how consoling his knowledge that one day you would walk this aisle at the end of August in the year 2009 and you would say, amen. To the words, the body of Christ, as if to say, Lord, I couldn't leave you. You have the words of eternal life. This is a hard teaching, but I accept it because you have taught it. Have you ever thought that your amen consoles the Lord for the losses that he encountered this day? But let's also apply what I just said to you to evangelization. There's a lot of empty pews. Pews that were once filled. I wonder if the Lord grieves for some of our relatives who should be here this morning, but are not. Oh, who needs Holy Communion? Who needs to go to church? Maybe they just drifted away. And the Lord wants to feed them, but they're not here.
Maybe it's a son or a daughter of yours. Maybe a grandson, a granddaughter, a niece, a nephew, a brother, a sister, a parent. Maybe some family member. And the Lord is consoled by your amen. But He also wants to say to you, I want your wife, your husband to say amen. I want your son and your daughter to come back and say amen so that I can feed them too. And I grieve for the fact, for them, that I cannot feed them. Come, go and bring them to me. Bring them to me. I want to feed them too. You see, again, this is a tough teaching for most of us, not because we think it's crazy, but just because we think it's ordinary. Who needs a piece of bread and a little sip of wine? It's not bread and it's not wine. It's Jesus. Now, if I change the sentence and say, who needs Jesus? Somebody say, everyone. People need the Lord. Oh, how the Lord wants to feed and fill these seats and feed those who are starving spiritually and don't even know it. So, brothers and sisters, the first tough teaching is the teaching on the Eucharist. It's tough for most of us just because we've gotten kind of laid back about it. Because we don't really let it sink in, really get into our ears and drop from our brain into our heart that we're about to receive the living God today. You ought to say amen. He's going to feed us with His own flesh and blood. Not a symbol, but the real Jesus. Brothers and sisters, we need to communicate this beauty, this truth, to those who have drifted away from it. And the first way we have to do it is just to get our own hearts on fire for what the Lord is doing for us today. Praise the Lord. And it probably isn't going to happen instantly, just me telling you. Because that's still up in your brain. Still up in my brain. But more and more, to just allow the Lord to let it drop 15 inches into your heart. Wow. Awe. Wonder at what God is about to do in this liturgy and every liturgy. And the more that comes alive in us, the more we have to run and tell somebody, the Lord is feeding me. And I'm growing in strength and grace. I have a story to tell you about how the Lord is feeding me. So, brothers and sisters, the first tough truth is this teaching on the Eucharist.